Hey, Mama, welcome back to another episode of the Well Nourished Mama podcast. Today's interview could not have been more perfectly timed. We are right at the beginning of spring cleaning. The birds are singing, the flowers are blooming, the weather is getting warmer, and we just have the urge to purge and clean everything and get everything organized after the chaotic winter and just kind of wrap everything up before we go have fun during the summer. So I thought it'd be really fun to bring on my auntie. Her name's Marilee, and she is a professional organizer. So today we are talking all about how to begin organizing your home, especially if you have a lot of clutter, a lot of junk you just need to purge, throw away, donate, all of that stuff. She is going to be walking us through that, as well as just simple tips for us staying organized throughout the year and ways that we can just be more effective and efficient with keeping our home clean, even with little kids. I even throw in some of my 2 cents as well. I'm obviously not a professional. I haven't been doing it as long as she has, but I do have some good ideas, I think, about how to stay organized with your kids. And so today's interview is just packed full of really, really good actionable advice. So if you've been wanting to organize your home or just find some systems that are a little bit easier for you in your day-to-day life, you are going to love today's episode. Also, just a little plug-in. This was my first live interview. I actually got to be sitting in the room with my auntie in her home, and it was super, super fun. So hopefully you can kind of feel the energy in the conversation and just be as excited about organizing as we are. So I hope you love today's episode. And if you find it really, really informative, really helpful, please, please, please share it with another mama that you think could benefit from listening, and then leave a star rating and review so I know that you liked it and Marilee knows that her information was helpful. And not only does that help the podcast continue to grow, but it also just gives me more information on how I can better serve you in the future. So that would be super, super helpful. With all of that being said, let's jump into today's episode with Marilee, all about organizing your home. Hey mama, my name is Brooke, and just like you, I want to show up for my kids in the best way possible. But you and I both know that that means our cup needs to be filled first. Here on the Well Nourished Mama podcast, we learn about all the different ways we can nourish our bodies, minds, and souls in every stage of motherhood, including pregnancy, birth, and postpartum. As a mama of two and certified postpartum nutritionist, I'm here to educate, empower, and inspire you as you navigate your unique motherhood journey and raise your family. Tune in each week for episodes about nutrition, exercise, wellness, lactation, marriage, and so much more, and walk away with simple but actionable tips to help you be a well-nourished mama. Imagine this, you're 3 months postpartum. Even though your baby doesn't sleep through the night, you wake up each morning energized for the day, and the afternoon slump is a thing of the past. You're able to remember important information, answer all your toddler's questions, and clearly focus on the task at hand. Your milk supply is thriving, and baby is growing well with little colic or digestive issues. Besides the occasional stressor, you're able to regulate your emotions and manage the demands of mom life. And most of all, your physical symptoms from pregnancy and childbirth have healed quickly and with minimal pain or complication. Believe it or not, this can be your reality. My first postpartum experience is what society calls normal. I had night sweats for weeks, my brain fog and fatigue were overwhelming, I developed many food sensitivities, and anxiety ruled my life. Flash forward to now, just 3 months postpartum with my second baby, I'm the total opposite. I'm physically strong, mentally clear, emotionally stable, and I can enjoy foods without restriction. The difference? How I nourished my body during labor and the first 6 weeks postpartum. If you want to truly thrive in postpartum and kick those quote normal symptoms to the curb, join the waitlist to pre-order my new postpartum recovery cookbook. Inside, you'll find a 6-week recovery plan with 48 nourishing recipes and the science behind postpartum recovery so you have all the tools you need to flourish. Head to today's show notes to get on the VIP list. Hey, Marilee, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I am really excited. You guys aren't watching, but we are actually here live. It's my first episode live, and Marilee is actually my auntie. So this is kind of fun to be doing it with family. But just like you heard in her bio, Marilee is a professional organizer. How long have you been doing this for?
I've owned my business for about 10 years.
That's a lot longer than I thought.
Yeah.
That shows you how much I know. Well, you've been doing this for a long time.
Yes.
And I don't know anyone else that's a professional organizer, so I'm really excited to talk to you today.
Oh, yeah.
And get some tips, because I'm a young mom of little kids, and my house is not very organized. You probably don't want to come to my house.
I don't believe that for one second. I've been to your homes, and they're very beautiful.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm sure all the moms listening are really going to benefit from our conversation today. Good. So I'm really excited. Can you just tell us really quick about you and what you do and how you got into organizing?
Sure. So my name is Marilee Hickson, and I own Arizona Organized Solutions. Like I said, I have owned my business for 10 years, but have been in the industry for a little bit longer than that, probably about 13 years. I've been in thousands of homes and have had the opportunity to help, you know, every type of person you can possibly imagine. I deal with a lot of people who have anxiety and depression. We do a lot of hoarding jobs. There are 6 levels of hoarding, and I do up to about level 4 or 5 sometimes. After that, you do need a psychiatrist to be on the job with you. In a lot of cases, there's different levels of people having what we call clutter. And so we do, you know, everything from offices, garages, master closets, kitchens, you know, everything you can imagine, craft rooms, playrooms, move in. We do full pack and unpack. And then, so we do the full pack, purge and pack, and then the movers come in and move. And then we do the complete professional unpack, which is super, super fun because it's like Pinterest, you know, you unpack and you walk in, you can go to lunch and then we unpack you and all the boxes are gone and the flowers are on the table and it's like, oh, so wonderful.
Where were you when I moved the last 4 years?
It's awesome.
That's so fun. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you mentioned that a lot of the people that you help have some mental health struggles. Are there some reasons why we might feel cluttered other than just we're really busy? Like, are there some other things that could help us be like, oh, maybe I do need a professional organizer to come help? Why might we feel cluttered in our lives?
Well, there are a lot of reasons. And, you know, the most important thing is to understand you are not alone. If you have a lot of clutter or more clutter than you feel comfortable, you're not alone. That's why I have a job, first of all. I mean, and I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about your listeners or anybody who's here listening to this. It's very, very common to feel overwhelmed in for many, many reasons, whether you're a busy mom and you just are focused on your kids, and that's perfectly fine. It's just a phase in life, you know. And you have to keep in mind there are different phases in our lives where we may not be able to keep up with our things as much as we would want to or think we could. And we have to be careful to not be hard on ourselves in those places. Having excess clutter where we cannot get a grip on it, that's where we have to start to think, okay, what does excess clutter even look like and why am I falling into this trap? And a lot of people will fall into that trap when they are experiencing anxiety or extreme amounts of stress or depression. Sometimes people are raised with clutter and they don't know anything better. They don't know anything different. Other people who have trauma in their life and they, a lot of our, you know, baby boomers from the, you know, depression, they were raised that don't let go of something, you might need it in the future. And so it's really, really hard for them to let go of things because that's what they were raised to believe in. And that's not just the baby boomers. That's not just from the depression. A lot of families will have been raised that way. Sometimes grandparents might pass away or parents and you have their things and you don't want to let go of it because now it's a sentimental thing. And, you know, so then you've got their, what I'm calling clutter, and on top of your own clutter. And so it's just, sometimes there's just a lot of different reasons. And no matter what the problem is, there are answers to help bring it to a solution where you feel peace and joy. You can utilize the things that you have, or if you're not using them, we let it go, or we contain it and put it into a memorabilia container saying, I love these things, they're important, but we're not going to let them take up valuable real estate. We're going to put them away, label them memorabilia, and I can refer back to those when I'm ready.
So you touched on a lot of really good things, and I want to talk about two of them. Hopefully I can remember both questions. The first one is, how do we differentiate between, oh, I'm just busy and I haven't done my dishes in a couple days and I haven't put my kids' toys away in a couple days, versus this kind of clutter where we need someone like you, a professional, to come in and spend hours and hours with us going through our house and trying to do these big overhauls? How do we understand where we fall in that spectrum?
Well, everybody's got a different amount of clutter. So there might be someone who has, you know, extreme amounts, which, you know, I don't want to make anybody feel bad on the podcast, because everybody is, and that's the most important thing, is you have to remember that as we talk about this, the most important thing is that you're safe, you're loved, you're okay. And when we talk about different amounts of clutter, it's very important that you keep your mental state safe as we discuss this, you know, because other people might feel judged or might feel, you know, anything like that. When you know that you're getting to kind of a struggle part, you know, a struggle spot where you're like, okay, this might be more than I can handle, is when, and I'm going to just be blunt about this, is when you see that you're starting to put garbage on the floor rather than in the trash. So a lot of people don't understand that we also have, that's when we know that, okay, I have a lot of stuff on the ground. It's overwhelming me so much so that I can't even get the garbage to the garbage can.
Okay.
So that might not be you, that might not be, you know, but there are people out there who feel like it, that might be, I'm stuck, I'm frozen, I can't do anything. And that's when you kind of know, okay, there might be something going on inside me, something mentally or emotionally, that I might need a little bit of help. And when a professional organizer comes in, we're trained in all of that, so we can help you get past that hurdle of I'm frozen in my tracks. A lot of people with ADD will pick something up, put it down, go get something else, put it down, and can't figure out why they're not getting things put away, because they'll put something down, but they won't put it away. But the worst thing is when we get stuck or what people will refer to themselves as frozen, and so. And that's where we can come in and help unfreeze you, help you to kind of start to get the things that are really in the way. And a lot of times that starts with trash. That just starts with your garbage. You know, just if it's a box, disassemble it, take everything out of the Amazon box and toss the Amazon box. You know what I'm saying? We don't want to keep boxes. Boxes and bags are the one of the biggest problems of clutter that I run into.
Interesting. Okay. And going along with that, you talked a lot about mental state and how the state of our home that we're viewing on the outside sometimes is a reflection of how we're feeling on the inside.
Right.
And you don't realize it.
Yeah.
So would you say that the clutter comes first, or the mental struggles come first and then it's reflected in the clutter?
So the mental struggles come first, and it's reflected in the clutter. But the way to help, one of the ways to help with your mental struggles is to help get the clutter under control, because then your brain, and one of the things I love about my job is that as we help people purge, literally they will feel, they tell me, I feel liberated. I feel like I'm out of prison. My things, the stuff that's been cluttering my floors and my countertops, have made me feel like I'm in prison, and now I feel like I can breathe. A lot of times people will tell me it's better than counseling, because when you have your home clean, not clean, but just purged and organized, where you can find exactly what you want right when you want it. Imagine the control you feel. Because if you can't find what you're looking for and then you go buy it again, even though you know you have it and it's somewhere, you're out of control. But when things are contained and labeled and you know exactly what's there, you are completely in control. You're the master of your universe. I want you to feel like you're a princess or the queen of your home and you feel liberated. I want you to feel like you can earn money and be powerful and feel beautiful. And that's what I want for my clients.
I love the connection that just cleaning our house and trying to get these things in order really does make us feel different. It's not just we're feeling better because we're presenting better to other people. It's this internal thing of, oh my goodness, I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders because my house is clean. And I can say that for myself. When I go through like on Saturdays and I clean my house, I'm like, oh, okay, I can breathe again. We're doing good. Or when I finally get a corner of my closet organized and everything, it really does feel so much better.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's difficult to start though.
Yeah.
And that's what I want to ask you about. So what are some common barriers to like starting the process? If you know that you need to clean, if you know that you need to organize and you need to declutter and it's kind of getting a little bit out of control, or maybe you're just a busy mom and even trying to clean your house on a Saturday is overwhelming. What are some common barriers to that? And how can we overcome those barriers to actually like get through this organization process?
Okay. That's a really good question. The first thing, and you've got to keep in mind the depth of work that I go into. So I'm going to be speaking to a lot of people. We don't know what anybody's home looks like. So I'm going to kind of start with extreme situations so that if anyone on any of your listeners are listening, they can maybe find themselves in one of these areas, you know. The very first thing I start with in any situation is the garbage. So if you're in your kitchen and you're trying to get your kitchen cleaned up, the very first thing you do, get everything that is supposed to go in the trash and put it in the trash. So now we know what we don't want, what we're not using, what's gross, what's dirty, what's whatever, put it in the trash, have that be done. Same thing in a bedroom or a closet or a kids. If there are pop cans or soda cans or things like that that have landed on the floor and you know, or, you know, we've gone out to eat and we left things around or whatever, you may have been taught a habit of doing that. And the very first habit we need to get people to stop doing is not throwing their garbage away when they have it. But in any case, it is when I clean my kitchen, the very first thing I do is get everything that's supposed to go in the, if it's, you know, potato peels or whatever it is, goes in the garbage. The next thing I do is I try to clean as much as I can, whether it is dishes that are cluttered. If there's dishes on the counter, I get them at least to the sink. I'm trying to clear off our flat spaces. So the flat spaces would be your counters and your floors and maybe your bed if it's got clothes on it and things like that. So we want to keep our flat spaces as clear and clutter-free as possible. Organizing comes at the very end, but the most important thing is that we're going to get like with like. So garbage goes with garbage, dishes go with dishes, clothes go with clothes. Dirty clothes go in the dirty clothes. So if you can get like with like, then you're moving in the right direction. And I say start with that. Start with your like with like. Once you've got your like with like and you've got all the dirty clothes and you see how many dirty clothes, then you can start a load of laundry. And you know, okay, this pile right here is all that I have to work on. I'm going to give myself 3 days to get it all done or whatever else. But at least you would know where all the dirty clothes are. If you are to the point where you're ready to actually start to declutter, then I would get clear 50. What I do is I have clear 55-gallon bags for donate. I get those at Home Depot. And black 55-gallon bags for trash. And the reason I do that is because mentally, your brain tells yourself, if I'm going to put it in a bag, I don't remember what's all in here. Maybe I need to pull it out and look again or whatever. But if it's in a clear bag, it mentally and emotionally, you will feel very, very clear about what you are donating. You'll feel good about it. You'll feel positive. Look at how much I'm letting go of. and my stuff is important. Someone else will love it. I'll give it to them. I'm not using it anymore. It's going in the donate bag. It's not trash. It's donate. And so we're keeping those two things separate. Trash needs to go right out to the trash. Donate needs to go right into the car. We're going to get it right out of the house. We're not going to leave it in piles. And then what, then you start the next phase of organizing. But those are the first, that's the first steps, is like with like, get rid of the trash, get all of your things in the same spots with their friends. Dirty clothes go with dirty clothes.
Yep.
Dishes go with dishes. Dishes are not friends with clothes. Trash is not friends with your floor. You know what I'm saying? Trash is friends with the trash can. You know what I mean? Like, we try to keep their things living with their friends.
So what would you say to someone like me who often feels really overwhelmed just knowing I have 3 rooms in my house that haven't been cleaned in a week? My kids' toys are everywhere. You know, we've got some leftovers from takeout in the kitchen, and then I've got laundry piled up, and not only do I have my laundry bin, but I have my laundry chair. My husband and I joke about the laundry chair. So I can mentally see I've got many rooms in my house, and I know that there's garbage, I know that there's dirty stuff, whatever, and I'm just feeling really overwhelmed with even starting at all. Uh-huh. Do I start with all of the trash in the whole house, or do I just do it one room at a time? How would you tackle maybe like a mom's everyday cleaning life where she's just overwhelmed with even starting the simple cleaning stuff?
Yeah. You know what? Generally speaking, I start in one room.
Okay.
And I just focus on the one room, because if you are going to focus on the whole house, you will get worn out before you get, you know, get halfway done with any of it.
I get worn out thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. So I would just say, you know what? Today we're going to start in the playroom, and we're just going to just donate toys that we're not playing any with anymore. We're going to throw away things that are not going in, and we're going to just put like with like in bins or whatever the case may be, if it's the kitchen. And also I would focus on the rooms that really, really affect you in your daily life. If the playroom isn't really affecting you and the kids are just going to go in and mess it up again and because they're having a great time, but the kitchen brings you joy because you're in it and you're cooking and you like it to be clean, then really focus on that. If you're a craft person, focus on keep your craft room, you know, where you can actually be in control of it. Once it gets out of control, crafters can't craft. Mm-hmm. Chefs can't cook. You know what I'm saying? You want to be able to do the things that bring you joy and bring you peace and help you make money, but most importantly, bring you peace and joy in your life. And if those things are cluttered, it's going to be really hard to feel it. If you're someone who really likes to entertain and your front room is your entertaining space where people come and you want to have them be able to come and sit and you feel good when that room is clean, make sure that that room is what you're focused on.
That's a really good point. So it's not necessarily the pressure of I have to have my whole house clean at the end of every day. Mm. It's okay, I probably can't have my whole house clean by the end of the day, but I can choose the 2 rooms that are going to matter most to me tomorrow.
That's right.
And I need to wake up to a clean kitchen, and I need my son to wake up to a clean room so he is motivated to play with his toys.
Yes. And I like that you just said that, Brooke, because, you know, the thing is that as you do these things with for your children, no matter how old you are, it doesn't matter what age your children are, it's never too late to start helping them learn categories. And categories are important in math. That's a math skill. The learning the like with like and learning to keep things in order will help them in their future as they're learning how to calendar and they're learning how to do their own laundry and they're learning how to do things that will really help them in their adult life. These are really good things that you can just start little bits, you know, even if it's just, let's just do your room, teenager, you know, let's just get your basketball shorts or your football gear in one container. And I use clear containers for everything, only clear containers.
In every room of the house?
Yeah.
Okay. Because we want to be able to see what's in it.
Yep.
And yeah. See how full it is? Or?
Yeah. You want to be able to see. Your brain is going to tell you 2 things. It's going to say, if it's one of the decorative bins like the IKEA bins, and you can just put whatever you want in it, it's going to tell you, I can't see it, therefore I really could put anything in it, and it's okay as long as it's not on the floor. But if it's a clear container, you can say, oh, wait, these are little cars. These are big cars. These are balls. I can see through it. Your brain's going to tell you it's in the right container, and then you're also going to put a label on it. Your brain will actually look at the clear container, make sure everything's in there correct, and then you'll read the label. It's just it's a surefire way of making sure that that bin doesn't get cluttered again, which they always do if they're not clear.
Okay, so how about my bins that are in the garage? I have those really basic Target, Walmart, gray plastic snap storage bins.
Yeah.
Are those okay to be not clear?
I mean,
would you say that you want all clear bins for everything?
The thing is that as a professional organizer, we do things a little differently. Everybody's going to have, you can't go out and buy all new things just because you heard somebody, a professional organizer, say this. If you're out shopping for them and you have a choice, I would say clear.
Okay.
If it's Christmas and you have a red bin, that's fine to have the red bins for Christmas, orange for Halloween or whatever, because you know that that's what's in there. But the black bins from Home Depot with the yellow lids, they can be a little bit tricky if you're not careful, if it's not labeled and you're not really keeping the right things in there. Otherwise, it just becomes like a dump zone. Things just kind of end up in there, and then you never know what you have, and then you go buy it again, and then it's the same cycle.
Yeah. Okay. Super, super good tips. Luckily, I don't have to go buy all new bins for my garage because I have all of the solid bins, but I do have labels on them.
Good. See, there you go. So you, and when you, as long as you label it, and you can even type it out on the computer and just put it, cut it out and have it be cute font, and you don't have to have a fancy label maker. Just make sure it's labeled. This is just extension cords. This is whatever it is. It really, you don't need fancy things to make this work. But as long as you are keeping in mind, like with like, friends live with friends. Certain things, coffee cups do not live in the pantry with food. Medicine does not live in, you do what I'm saying? Like, you try to keep as much as you can like with like, and you'll feel so much more clear-headed with everything.
Okay, I love that. I also do just like scotch tape with a Sharpie.
Sure.
Because then I can like peel it off really quick if I want to change it. I've had to move, 3 or 4 times in the last 2 years. So I feel like I've gotten pretty good at decluttering.
Yeah, there you go.
Organizing.
Yeah.
To move so much. And I'm like, I do not want to haul this crap with me.
That's right.
All the way from California.
That's right. And if you have things from grandma or things from mom or anybody who's passed away, and you keep moving them or holding on to them, it's important to remember too, for your listeners, that those things are important. And your kids' toys are important, that, the things that you want to have them, maybe they're moving out of the little things, the little toys, and you're like, oh, but that was such a fun toy. Do I keep it forever? Or what about all the drawings, every single drawing that they've ever made? Are we keeping them forever because they were so cute? Well, we have to remember, we can take pictures of things and then we can let them go. We don't have to hold on to everything. We can take pictures, make a really cute, photo album or whatever, but we don't have to hold on to everything. We can take a picture of it and then let it go.
Okay, I love that.
Did you know that the current standards for prenatal vitamins are only based on the minimum requirements to avoid disease, and that pregnant women were not included in the initial research? On top of that, it's estimated that although 97% of pregnant women take a daily prenatal, 95% of pregnant women are nutritionally depleted both during and after pregnancy. Last time I checked, we deserve to thrive, not just survive during a pregnancy. That's why I choose Needed, a nutrition-based supplement complex that nourishes moms through fertility, pregnancy, and postpartum. Their prenatal vitamins have 23 essential nutrients for pregnancy that have been dosed in optimal levels and methylated for better absorption. They also provide their products in both pill and powder form, so nausea and aversions will never keep you from taking your supplements. Get 20% off your first month of Needed using the code MAMA20, that's MAMA20, at the link in the show notes.
So now I want to talk about specific rooms in the house, because I feel like you have to kind of tailor your approach based on the room that you're talking about. So I might organize my kitchen differently than my kids' playroom, right? So what would you say for helping moms organize their kids' rooms, especially if like their toys are in their room?
Okay.
How do we go about doing that in a really effective way that's easy for our kids, that's easy for us, and it avoids clutter and accumulating too many toys as much as possible?
Okay, that's great. The most important thing is to think about when I'm looking at kids' toys, and I actually have the children in with me when I'm organizing a lot of times. I like to hear what my client is saying, and sometimes that's the kids, and sometimes I watch their body language. There are things that are just their comfort. It brings them comfort. And so those are items that we can think, okay, are they still bringing them comfort, or did they once bring them comfort and they're not really using them anymore? Those things then can go into a clear container labeled memorabilia. This was their snuggly at that time, and I want to hold on to it for them to remember by, but we're not using it now. So those things then go up to the top of the closet in a memorabilia container, so they're not taking up valuable real estate. Other toys are either broken, those go in the trash. And then if we're going to contain toys in their room, we want to make sure that their sleep space is a safe place for them to let go of the toys, let go of the imagination that they're constantly imagining. And they can't get that restful sleep if they're surrounded by all of their toys. So we want to make zones. So if their sleep zone is on one side of the room and their toys are zoned in another side of the room, if that's the only option and their toys are going to be, then we want to try to keep that as, okay, this is our play zone when we wake up. When we're in bed, this is our sleep zone. We can have our books over here. We can have our sound machine and our music, maybe a light. Stuffed animals, things that help comfort and bring a restful sleep. And then when we wake up, we can move to the other side of the zone, which really should try to be cleaned up at the end of the night so that they can have a restful sleep and feel orderly, because they will learn how to feel liberated from their own ability to contain and label and put things away. Not label, but read a label. They feel so smart when they can say, I know that says balls. And where do the balls live? They live with the balls. Oh, they're all with their friends. And they feel so smart when they can put those things away. And so, and knowing these routines of helping them learn how to put them away before they go to bed, it helps them feel like they know they're smart. They can handle a routine. They're growing up. They can do hard things, you know? And so, so that's how every room is zoned. So let's just jump over really quick to a kitchen.
Hold on really quick.
Okay, okay.
Before we jump to the kitchen, I did have one question. Are you familiar with toy rotation?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, do you like toy rotation?
I absolutely
if it works
do.
For families?
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
And those toys need to go someplace high if we're rotating them, somewhere out of the way, but somewhere you're not going to forget about them.
Okay, can you explain toy rotation in case the mamas don't know, and then quick give your tips for it?
Yeah, sure. So toy rotation is basically saying, I've got a lot of toys, and they're good toys. I don't want to get rid of them, but there's too many out. It's overwhelming for my child to see this many toys. They don't even know where to start because there's too many choices. So what we do is we take maybe half of those toys or a fraction of them, whatever you choose, and we're going to put them into a clear container. And that's going to be where your toy rotation begins. So you label it toy rotation. And then you want to say, okay, I'm going to rotate these maybe once a month or whatever. And then that bin becomes the bin where the next set goes in. So maybe in January, we play with this set of toys. Then in February, we're going to rotate out and take the new set of toys out of the container, take them out and put the other toys that were in the room back in, you know, into the rotation container, put them up, and now they've got a new set of toys to play with.
Okay.
But it's just important that you don't forget about those toys, or the rotation becomes, they kind of grow out of them, and then they're, it just happens so fast. You know, they're just growing so fast. So it's a toy rotation is great, but it's more pressure on the mama because you're having to remember more. Mm-hmm. And mamas get so busy that, oh, I forgot about those toys up there, you know, and then, you know, and my suggestion would be if you don't, rather than doing toy rotation, my suggestion would be if you don't have a home for it in a container, a clear container off the floor zoned, then we don't buy it. And that is a one way to avoid having too many toys. If they're not playing with it, let it go. My suggestion would be sometimes we buy toys for kids, not only because we just love our kids so much and we love to see them so excited and we don't, but somehow it's feeding ourselves to serve our kids that way and to give it, you know, we're getting more joy out of it, but in effect, we are causing ourselves more stress and them as well when they have too many toys.
Gotcha.
So, you know, just sort of keep in mind, if you don't have a place for it to live, if you don't have a place for a huge Barbie house, then we don't get it. You know what I'm saying? It can't really live on the back patio because it's going to get ruined. The dog's going to pee on it, whatever the weather, you know. Make good choices. If you can't fit it, then we don't get it.
Yeah. Or you can say, okay, we really want to get this big Barbie house. What are we going to get rid of to make room
exactly.
for it? So you're always keeping the same space occupied in the same way.
Yep.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And for all my mamas listening who are sitting there saying, well, what about the grandparents for birthdays and Christmas that want to buy all the toys? What my husband and I have been doing is whenever our family asks, what do the kids want for birthday or Christmas? We suggest books because I will never say no to building a bookshelf on the wall. Don't care. We can have as many books as you want. But we also do things like arts and crafts where you make it, it's fun, it's there for maybe a week on the fridge, and then you throw it away. Mm-hmm. But it's not because it wasn't important. It's because you don't need to keep it forever.
Right.
Because it was a craft. So things like coloring books or, yeah, arts and crafts, things like that. If you're overwhelmed with toys and you feel like the grandparents are a source of stress for toys, you can 100% put those boundaries in place and say, you know what? We've got a lot of toys and we're really happy. Why don't we do arts and crafts, or why don't we do experiences? How about you go on a trip with your grandkids, or how about you just come here and play and spend the money on airfare or whatever, instead of just shipping us a bunch of toys that make noise and drive us crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
So there is a way to get around not having more toys.
Exact. Perfect, Brooke. That's perfect.
Okay, so now you wanted to talk about the kitchen. This is an important place for me. Okay. I spend a lot of time in the kitchen.
Yes.
And I know other moms might not spend as much time in the kitchen, but they have to be in the kitchen regardless. So what are some tips for keeping our kitchen organized, no matter how big it is?
Well, the most important thing is that that you have things homed in the right locations. So when people first move into their homes and unpack and put things away, What I want you to think about is, if every kitchen is laid out differently, and some are lacking drawer space, some are lacking cupboard space, and there are options to fix that, but there are solutions to that. But when you're very first setting up your kitchen, you're gonna do it in zones. So your very first zone you're gonna think about is, or the two most important zones are, where would I make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? And everything that I need to make the peanut butter and jelly sandwich should essentially live within hand's reach of that place. So if I'm going to, you know, if I like this counter space for making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I want my silverware to be right there handy so that I can just reach down and get a knife to spread the peanut butter. I can reach up to get the plate and the cups. I don't have to be walking all over the kitchen to go, now I've got to go over here to get a cup and over here to get a plate. And over, we want to kind of zone your plates, cups, silverware, all in the same location. Sandwich baggies and Tupperware are also going to be near that same area because it's kind of like prep zone. also, if you have room for it, that's also where you're going to put your mixing bowls, somewhere in that same square areas, or, you know, kind of that same zone. It's, I'm prepping for dinner. I'm prepping for a sandwich. I need my spoons and, you know, the things that I need to make all in one area. Junk drawers do not live in that area. You know, manuals for, you know, my refrigerator warranty book does not live in the kitchen.
Nope.
Paper does not live in the kitchen ever. Paper lives, if you have a control and command center in the kitchen, it can live there. And that is a whole separate area where you've got, you know, your scissors and pens and some tape and some, you know, where you might charge your phone or whatever. That's called a control and command center. But that's not going to be in your valuable real estate where you're actually setting, you know, creating your dishes. If you turn around or you go to your zone where your stove is, everywhere around that stove is your cooking zone. And that zone and the two cupboards right to the top and the two cupboards to the bottom or the drawers to the side, that is all should be zoned for cooking if possible. So we have our seasonings, you know, in a cupboard or a drawer. We have our spatulas, we have our pots and pans, but we do not have a junk drawer near the cooking zone. We can have our hot pads near a cooking zone, but we don't have, you know what I mean? Like we just have to, so that's the first thing. If you are going to want to get your kitchen orderly, the very first thing is set up your zones properly so that you don't have to walk to get to what you're wanting to get. And everything is like with like, medicine does not live with spices.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Move the medicine to its very own zone. You will love it when you can find your aspirin or your, you know, your first aid, you know, it's not mixed in with spices, things like that. So
thinking about the functionality and saying, how am I going to use this kitchen? Let me organize it accordingly.
Yeah. And if you can do them I use square or rectangular zones wherever if it's a cupboard, that cupboard is an entire zone for one thing. I give it a label and I say, this is the spice cabinet and everything that has to do with spices, which could also contain baking supplies. It could contain, you know, anything like that, but it's zoned for that. And we label it. This one is just cups, plates, you know, things like that, and zone for that. Medicine does not live with those. You know what I mean? And so once you label it, it's usually, you can find a square of some sort, whether it's a shelf and then the bottom shelf, that could be one zone. And then the next shelf is a zone, but they don't combine. I'm not sure if I'm making sense with that or not, but.
No, that makes sense. I feel like when you listen to it, you're like, whoa, zones, that's a lot. But like when you think about your kitchen, I'm sure when we all unpacked and had to move into our kitchen, we're like, okay, this shelf is for all my Tupperware and this shelf is for all my this. Like we kind of do it mentally without realizing that we're putting labels on it. Like this is the zone for this.
Yeah.
So I think that totally makes sense. I did want to ask you about fridge.
Okay.
Because right now it's really trendy. I see a lot of influencers that are buying these cute little clear Tupperwares where they can put all of their stuff in these bins in the fridge. And then they've got these special hanging whatevers for their eggs. And I just sit there and I'm like, my fridge is just kind of like a grab all. We're putting it in there so it's not going to go bad kind of a thing. So do you feel like the fridge is a place that should be very organized and like have extra attention to it with bins and all these things, or do we not really need to worry about organizing our fridge?
You know, the thing that helps with the organizing of the fridge is I tend to eat, like if I've got cheeses that are in little packages and you take them out of the large. So this is actually a really kind of a good thing to remember too. Whatever you're organizing, whether it doesn't matter what area of your house you're organizing, take it out of the packaging if you can. So if you're going to put your paper towels away, and I'm going to get to the fridge here with this. If you're going to put your paper towels away, take them out of the big outer packaging. So they're individual, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those extra packaging, they take up so much room because as soon as you're done with it, half of it, well, the packaging takes up so much space when you've only got two things of paper towels in there. The same thing with what's going on in your fridge. If you have a container that will allow you to just grab a strawberry or grab something a little bit easier and help you to not waste food, then that's where the prettiness of the clear containers comes into in. It helps us to eat our produce a little quicker. It helps us to get the excess bags or containers out of there so that it's not taking up space that is hard to fit everything in. You got clear containers for everything. You come home from the grocery store, you dump it in or rinse it off first, dry it, dump it in. Now we can just go and grab what we want. And that's where the handiness of that comes in is I want to eat a little bit, you know, healthier. I want my kids to be able to go in and get, some Baby Bell cheese or whatever it is, and it's just right there quick. But if they have to dig through a bag or a sack of any kind to get it, they might not get it. They might go for a cookie or crackers, something that's easier to grab.
So what you're saying is it's not a necessity to feeling organized or to being productive with your space, but if it helps you achieve your goals of getting through your food faster and being more accessible,
yeah,
then it's a good option,
yeah,
for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And something that I've done, because I have a 2.5-year-old, is I'll say, okay, what's within my son's reach and how can I optimize that space?
Yeah.
So all of his snacks are like on the bottom of the pantry where he can just open the door,
yeah,
and he doesn't need me to come and get him a snack. And he has his own bin that's separate from like my protein bars and my grab and go snacks.
Yeah.
So mamas, if you're thinking about like the fridge or if the freezer is accessible and your kids like Otter Pops or like frozen blueberries or peas, I know some kids eat frozen peas, or just like your pantry, also think about what's accessible to your kids,
yeah,
and how you can make their lives easier by saying, okay, I want the healthy stuff to be accessible. I want them to go in the fridge and be able to reach for cheese, fruit,
yep,
deli meat, whatever they want, and not need me to come get it for
yeah
them. Or I want them to be able to go to the pantry and get
and
their
when it's
stuff
aesthetically pleasing to look at, they'll want it more. Same thing, that's why candy dishes are so popular, people. I mean, it's so fun to be able to grab candy out of a candy dish because it looks so pretty. Yes, you can grab it out of a bag, but when it's out of the bag and it's in a candy dish, nothing's stopping you from grabbing it. You're going to grab it. Same thing with fruit or cheese or anything like that. So,
okay. I have one more space I want to ask you about,
okay,
and this is selfishly for me. Okay. I don't know if anyone else cares. I would love some tips on keeping the car organized.
Okay.
We have a sedan right now. We don't have a minivan or like a big car yet, but I know that there's a lot of moms that have big cars, and big cars get crumbs and they get trash from snacks and McDonald's, and then they have all the kids' toys everywhere. And then if you have a small car like me, it just accumulates faster.
Yeah. Yep.
So what are some ways that we can keep our cars organized?
Okay. So there's a couple of options. The first thing to remember is trash is going to be is not your friend. So the most important thing is at least once a week, clear out the trash. If you can't do it once a day, that's understandable. But on Saturdays, make that your day where you're like, today's the day we got to get the trash out of the car.
How do you feel about trash cans in the car? I know some people have like little grocery baggies or cute, I don't know, plastic whatevers that are made to be trash bins for cars. How do you feel about that?
I have had success with one car where that actually worked because it actually went under something. A part of the actual vehicle where it fit in, and I could put things in there very easily. Other cars, it just hasn't fit, and people's feet knock it and, you know, stuff like that. So it hasn't actually, they haven't worked well in a lot of cars. If it blocks people's, you know, feet, if the kids are kicking it or whatever, you know, that's where I need to put my purse.
Okay. So maybe not.
One of the things I've really found is they've got these great, they've got some really great things. If you want to go on and just Google car organization, one of my favorite things is where you actually attach something from seat to seat. And it actually, have you seen that where you can put your purse in it? I'll show it to you. But anyway, if you Google car organization, but I love it. It blocks the kids from coming into the front of the seat.
Okay.
But it's actually a place where you can actually put your purse, some key, like a pen or, you know, different things like that. You can put it in it. Yeah. But it is also someplace that if you have to run inside, it kind of hides your purse a little bit, you know, whatever. But it's in between the two seats. They also have separators that you can put if you have a console that it's actually like divide your console up. So you're not just dumping things in your console, but it's like you can actually put like, okay, I need to make sure I have Band-Aids for the kids in case they're there, or maybe, you know, some crayons or some different things to help keep them busy or whatever. And so you can actually separate your console to contain different things and have those be zones. So this is mommy's side of the console. I need my sunglasses to go here. I need my gum or whatever. This is the kid's side of the console. But they do sell those for different cars. So you put in your type of car and then organizer for the console or different things like that. I love having the tissue on the visor. They make tissue containers for you to have, you know, to grab a tissue off, and you can get them in. Mine's bling, so everything in my truck is bling. So I have like my tissue thing is bling. My eyeglasses, you know, container is bling. So you can make it really fun and enjoyable for you. Make it like, you know, you could have like cowhide, or you could have whatever you want, whatever, you know, but if you have it look cute, you might be more apt to enjoying the accessory that's in your car.
Okay. So the one that you talked about where it goes between the seats and I can put my purse there.
Yeah.
Can we get the link for it so I can put it in the show notes so mamas can just like quick grab it?
Absolutely. It's a game changer. Okay. It's great.
Okay. So we'll put that in the show notes.
Okay.
And then any other tips for organizing our car?
Just remember that it is going to get unorganized. It is, the containers that they put in the back, that you can put in the back of the vehicle where it's like, you can put your groceries in it. I think everybody's probably seen those where they're separated and you can put your grocery bag in. Those actually become more clutter. I use them because I have tools in my car. So I actually use that because I have drills and all that kind of stuff. But if you don't have it zoned for something, like this is what lives in here always, just know it can be, those actually can add more clutter to a mama's car. If you're using your car for a work vehicle, then those are great. But they just be careful about putting too many organizers in. The other thing I want to make sure is that you remember, don't go buy organizers, bins, containers, whatever, in hopes that if you buy the container, you will become organized. You actually want to do that last. Containing is last. So what you want to do is in any room that you're organizing, you want to be able to do the purging first, get rid of what you're not using, get rid of what doesn't fit. I want to fit in, I know I'll fit in those zeros or the, you know, those size two again. Well, if I've had five kids and it's just probably not going to happen, you know, let them go. It's okay.
Yeah.
We can be happy in our size sevens or eights or tens or whatever we're in, you know,
yeah.
But let go of the ones and twos and, you know, let's move on. Don't go buy containers before you've done the purging.
Or before you know what's going to go in them.
Right. That is the very, very last thing you do. I can buy containers for anybody because I generally know exactly what's going to happen. But for the majority of people, the containers are the last thing you want to get. And then, so get done with your purging. That goes first. Get rid of everything in your room that you're working on or car that you're working on or whatever. Get rid of it all first. And then now we know what we're keeping, what we love, what we're using, and how much space we have to put it in. And then find the container that fits that space before, you know, so you're just, a lot of people just spend a lot of money on Amazon, just buy the container. And now we've got all these containers, but we didn't even know where they were going to live. And in a lot of cases, they're the wrong container. They don't fit the space that you need it for.
Okay. So a common theme that I'm hearing in our conversation today is less is more.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that you have to live on bare minimum. Like, it's not like you have to go get rid of everything in your house and only have four plates or
right.
four toys or whatever, or, you know, one thing in your car. The idea is that you're trying to focus on less is more, but just like keeping everything contained, right? If it doesn't have a home, then it shouldn't be in your space.
Right. It will not bring you joy. If you think it's going to, and you keep buying things because you think it's going to bring you joy, inevitably, it too much can cause us more stress. And so we just want to make sure that we are, if we're not using it, let it go. If you don't really use it, and then even if it's a family, you know, heirloom, someone else might love it, but you don't have to hold on to it. Or it can go in a memorabilia up somewhere, but not in our valuable real estate. Yeah.
Mamas, the one exception might be those electrical wires, cables, chargers that your husband is so convinced you'll need one day. You might just have to let him have a bin for those.
Yes.
I gave up on that battle a long time ago. I was like, we are never going to use this. And he's like, we might. Okay.
Yes.
We'll just have a bin for all of your cables that you think we'll need in 10 years.
And hopefully people will be able to let go of their Apple boxes. Their Apple phone boxes that bought,
yes.
and the iPod box, the iPads, you know, they're great boxes from Apple. We love how beautiful they are. We do not need to hold on to them forever.
Okay. That's a good reminder to all of us.
Yeah.
Well, you are just a wealth of knowledge. I knew that because you're my auntie, but you have been so insightful. And I'm excited because this episode is coming out at the beginning of April, right when everyone's going to be spring cleaning.
Oh, good.
So hopefully this is really helpful for all the mamas that are like, it's time.
And the other thing is, too, I would say this, Brooke. Remember that you're wonderful for all the mamas that are out there. You don't have to be perfect. It is important to remember that as you clean and as you purge your home, you do this to bring you joy, to help you feel powerful and to feel good and to feel peace in your home and in your space. And the most important thing you can remember is don't do this for someone else. Do it for you. Do it for your children and do it because it's the right thing to do. That's the most important thing I think you can remember is, you know, we cannot live, you said it perfectly at the beginning, Brooke, when you said, you know, we're not doing this to make someone else feel good when they come into our home. We're doing it for our own.
That's a perfect way to end it. I love that. Just that mental reminder of, yep, it has to be for us because mm-hmm. otherwise I don't think I'll ever clean.
Yeah.
Okay, one last question. I ask all my guests this question, and it does not have to be related to organizing. Marilee, to you, what is a non-negotiable to living a well-nourished life?
You know, for me, a non-negotiable is that, and I realize that we're talking to a lot of different people. For me, a non-negotiable is that God or positive energy is a non-negotiable. I have to have that positive energy in my life. And if there is a negative energy, then I will do whatever it takes to make that leave, get that out, go away. You don't need to live with me. You don't need get to, it's, and it doesn't mean that it's not people that we don't, but we can change the vibe. We can be the difference. If we're in a situation that's not positive energy, we can make better choices and we can do that differently. But that's how I, and so for me to be able to help people bring that into their homes is why I love what I do. But the reason is because I've lived that myself and I know it and I love it.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much.
You're
welcome. Okay. So you are local to Mesa, Arizona.
Yeah.
So for anyone listening who wants to connect with you, whether it's just to ask you some more questions or maybe they are local to Arizona and they want to hire you, how can we connect with you? How can we learn more from you?
So I am, my business, it's Arizona Organized Solutions. We have a fantastic team. And again, we do absolutely everything you can possibly imagine from kitchens, garages, bathrooms, master closets, every craft rooms, playrooms, everything, packs and moves, unpacks. But you can contact me at 480-213-2477. My website is ArizonaOrganizedSolutions.com. And we would love to be able to help you with anything that you are in need of. If it's just too much and you're stuck, bring us on in and we will. It's absolutely phenomenal.
And are you on social media?
We are.
Are you on social media?
Yes, absolutely. Instagram is Instagram or Facebook.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for coming on today, Marilee. Mamas, I hope this was so helpful. I was taking mental notes to go back and fix my house. And with that, mamas, we'll see you in the next episode.
And that's the end of another episode. I hope you loved today's topic as much as I did. You can find all of today's show notes and details at thewellnourishedmama.com/podcast, as well as all of my recipes and resources on the blog. If you found this episode helpful, inspirational, or motivational, please leave a 5-star rating and review so other mamas can discover the podcast too. Oh, and don't forget to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any new episodes. As always, you're amazing, mama. Don't forget that. I'll see you in the next episode. Love you.